Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to an Everything Iconic Pop Dive with me, Danny Pellegrino, where my guests and I deep dive into iconic pop culture touchstones. Today we're diving into 1995's Clueless. Loosely based on Jane Austen's Emma, this Amy Heckerling teen comedy grossed $56 million off of a $12 million budget and starred Alicia Silverstone, Stacey Dash, the late Brittany Murphy, and Paul Rudd. It gained cult status, and it was later adapted into a series of books and a TGIF television series that ran for 3 seasons. The film follows Cher, played by Alicia Silverstone, and her group of friends as they navigate high school in Beverly Hills. The story of a high school virgin who can't drive captivated audiences, and I, too, spent my teenage years as a virgin who couldn't drive. I still can't drive, and I barely not a virgin, but I digress. Where were we? I added that in, you guys. I invited my friend and host Brooke Thomas over to discuss the legacy of the film, favorite moments, and so much more. This is an Everything Iconic Pop Dive into 1995's Clueless.
What the hell is that?
A dress.
Says who?
Calvin Klein. I'm gonna be a
supermodel. What are you doing? Yo, you get on the freeway! Get out of this lane! Go!
Surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose.
Well, there goes your social life.
I'm gonna be a supermodel.
Okay, you guys, I'm here with Brooke Thomas. Brooke, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm so excited to see you. So we recorded 10 minutes, and I don't have my producer, Whitney, here. I was like, we didn't record the first 10 minutes.
No,
so we
didn't.
Talked a lot about this film.
We talked about how we met.
We met at a casting.
We did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to you and I was like, we got to do a pop dive. We got to do one of these. What do you want to do? And you said Clueless. And I got so super excited because I love this movie. I was so excited to dive back in and rewatch it. Do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
Yes. You just reminded me this movie came out in 95. So I was 9 years old. I remember seeing it. It was a noon showing with my mom. So I was 9 years old.
9 years old. Yeah. I mean, as a kid, did you get all of it? Did you, when you saw it, you loved it right off the bat, right? Did you understand all the references?
No, but I wonder if this is just part of what happens when you're a kid or if it's just this movie was done well, because I don't think I knew there were so many aspects of it that were too grown up for me that I just completely missed.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like the reference to Amber and the balls in her face. I would have got that joke, but I didn't know I was missing something.
Right, right. There goes your social life.
Right. Or when Ty was constantly talking about drug use, I didn't get any of that. And now I'm like, I didn't even remember that because I didn't get it. And so I don't know if they just did it really well. It just works.
There's a lot of Ty when she says the Coke line.
We don't have any tea, but we have Coke and stuff.
No shit. You guys got Coke here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is America.
I remember being a kid and thinking like, oh, she's talking about Coca-Cola.
I thought she was from some country bumpkin school that didn't have Coca-Cola. But you know what? Also, I'm from Oklahoma, by the way, so I can say that.
Yeah,
but they didn't get it either. And so I think that's what helps. They thought she was talking about Coca-Cola. They thought when she said, did she say herb or something like
herbal,
that? They thought she was talking about tea.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's so good. They had sort of a good perspective on drug use, I thought, for this movie, because it was like, They, Sharon Dion both said, like, it's one thing to smoke a little weed at a party, but it's another thing to be high all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a good message.
Yeah. For 15-year-olds who are acting 35. Yes.
So we're going to kind of loosely go through this movie. We open where we kind of just enter into this world, into this Beverly Hills world. So it's based off of the Jane Austen story, Emma. And we first open with Kids in America. That song is playing. And this movie has so much great music. It's got Kids in America. It's got No Doubt, Just a Girl. Like, mm-hmm. so many 90s songs. It's like so 90s. And the whole so world, we meet all these people. It's very 90s. There's pagers. There's Ren and Stimpy references. Beavis and Butthead. There's Mentos commercials.
It's the beginning of all of our obsession with Jeeps. Nobody really wants to buy one, but everyone wants to own one and ride in one.
Did you want one after this movie?
Yes.
I feel like everyone wanted
one. I was nine. Of course I wanted one.
I also really,
it was very Barbie.
Yeah. Yeah. I also really wanted a pager.
Okay.
In this movie. Like, and my brother had a pager at one point. Do you remember on pagers? This is such an aside, but do you remember on pagers how you can, like, do a 911 page?
Yeah, to say, call me back immediately.
Yeah, it was like anytime we paged my brother, he would be like out with his friends or something, and it would always be 911. Like Gary, like, pick up the pizza from the store or something. Like, always a 911.
He has to run and find a payphone. It's an emergency.
So we open, one of the first things we see is that computerized fashion thing, which all girls and gays wanted that, mm-hmm. right? We all wanted to be able to touch a screen and pick out our outfit for the day.
And have your app, this app that was way ahead of its time, tell you when your clothes don't match. That's not fashionable.
I know. Could you imagine? I need that now. I told you when you got here, I'm like, I'm in workout clothes. I apologize.
No, I wasn't pointing to you, though.
You were pointing
at me. No, I wasn't. I'm talking about the outfit.
Like, that's not fashion.
It said that. Yeah. It's like, that doesn't match.
No, it was so good. And everyone wanted that. And all of the fashion in this movie, it's so 90s. I sort of think a lot of these are coming back. Do you have a favorite fashion moment from the movie?
It's the yellow plaid suit that she's wearing in the beginning when she's driving to school the first day.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
And you mentioned earlier, we were talking, you love that Dion said, or Cher told Dion that she takes so many fashion chances.
She said something like what did she say? I wonder if I wrote it down, but she said something about like Dion, what she likes about Dion is she takes risky fashion choices. And I was like, you were literally wearing the exact same outfit. They were wearing the exact same outfit in different colors. Right?
Yes, I mean, yes. I love the Calvin Klein dress. That was my favorite.
I was going to say, that's probably one of the best quotes. What is that? A dress, Daddy? Says who?
Calvin Klein.
Cher is so dumb. It's amazing.
It is amazing. But don't you think that Alicia Silverstone was so good in this role? And I feel like she should have been a bigger star after
this. I agree.
This, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some quality about her where she is playing so stupid, but she's still so likable.
She's so likable.
I feel like it's such a hard thing to pull off, that, and she does it so beautifully, where she's like stunningly beautiful, but she's also so stupid in this movie and so lovable.
She's so innocent. That's what she is. She's so innocent and she's so kind. She's a little controlling.
Yeah.
But she's sweet. And there's smart things about her. She's just naive.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I like her.
Me too. I know. I mean, I like all these people. And we meet them all sort of in the intro.
Now I don't like all of those people. But
oh, right. Who don't you like?
Well, Dion.
Dion's a mouse. I know. Right. We'll talk about that later. It's okay. We could talk about that. Dion's a mess. In the beginning, one of my favorite little qualities about this movie is in that classroom scene where it's like we're setting this world up, and we have the people with the nose bandages, which totally went over my head as a kid because they just had their rhinoplasty.
Which I refuse to believe is ever real life. It was this caricature of what you're supposed to think Beverly Hills public school, Beverly Hills kids, which is not, I mean, I'm not saying that that's like a womp womp, but like what they look like.
Right.
Everyone is constantly dressed like it's a runway and they get their noses done at 14 and 15. And I know they dress like normal kids.
Yeah. You also mentioned before we started recording that Travis, he's walking around with a skateboard, and you remember people who weren't skateboarding.
Yes, that was such a 90s thing.
Yeah. A 90s thing. And the baggy jeans was so 90s.
Murray's jeans were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everything about Murray was ridiculous, and I love him.
I love Murray too. I know that scene where they're at the party. I know we're jumping around a lot, but that scene where they're at the party and Murray's getting his hair cut and Dion freaks out.
Right.
So good.
You care what he thinks, Murray. I'm the one that has to look at you. That was a big mistake. What am I going to do with you now? And right before the yearbook pictures, what am I going to tell my grandchildren?
Right.
You know what? Okay, that's it.
That's it.
Want to play games?
Want to play games?
I'm calling your mother.
Wait, hold up. No. Wait, don't call my mom.
Chill.
Come
on, man, chill.
Don't call my mom.
So then we, right off the bat, we have that Cher's Haitian speech. You know, she's giving that speech to the class where...
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
She's making it up as she goes.
She's making it up as she goes, and she's got the gum in her hand.
Okay. Like right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America. But some people are all, what about the strain on our resources? But it's like when I had this garden party for my father's birthday, right? I said RSVP because it was a sit-down dinner. But people came that, like, did not RSVP. So I was, like, totally bugging. I had to haul ass to the kitchen, redistribute the food, squish in extra place settings. But by the end of the day, it was like, the more, the merrier. And so, if the government could just get to the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with the Haitians. And in conclusion, may I please remind you that it does not say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty.
That whole scene, that whole speech is so good. And right off the bat, we hear this sort of new language that I don't think we'd seen on screen before. And Amy Heckerling, the director, she said she actually went to Beverly Hills School and studied the language a bit. And they're using terms like as if and whatever. And it's like those things
really
came a part of our lexicon.
I know. I thought they made that up.
No, well, I mean, and I'm not sure how true this is, but I had read as I was doing some research, she said she went and sat at the schools and heard like what the kids were saying. And so a lot of those terms, like I'm outie, totally bugging.
Whatever. And then the W with your hands.
Whatever. The W with your hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like that, all of the language in this movie, it became part of our own lexicon.
Whatever, for sure.
Yeah. I grew up in Ohio, and I remember watching this movie and thinking, like, what is going on in this classroom? And it almost became like a wish fulfillment movie for me, because I thought, I want to go to that kind of high school.
This kind of free thinking, free moving, open learning environment.
Right.
Yeah.
So early on, one of the things that the movie sort of hinges on is this idea that Cher can debate anything and that she can get her way.
Which reminds me, where's your report card?
It's not ready yet.
What do you mean it's not ready yet?
Well, some teachers were trying to lowball me, Daddy. And I know how you say never accept a first offer, so I figure these grades are just a jumping off point to start negotiations.
Very good.
So she gets a C in debate class, and she's trying to raise that up. You know, she wants to, and she does, early on in the beginning, she does get that grade raised, and it shows that Cher knows how to manipulate and knows how to get her way. And that's like, I think the main sort of quality about her and what this movie hinges on, because it's like ultimately during the climax of the film, she's not getting her way. And that's like the turning point for her.
She's been kind of faking it
right.
The whole, for at least for the first half right. of the movie, and faking even her own happiness and what she's content with, because she's able to manipulate everything. She's manipulating herself. Poor
right.
thing.
We also get introduced to Josh, which is sort of her, she's sort of related. Do you think it's creepy?
Okay, right. So you just reminded me. I said that there was only one part. The cool thing about this movie is that I think that generally all of it can live up to today. We've gotten so much better at acknowledging all different human beings and the respect that they deserve to have. Right. So a lot of movies from that time period and a little bit before, they're not watchable right now.
Right.
This is super watchable. There's one part when they discuss Christian, and I guess we'll get to that later, but also the other part is the fact that her college age former stepbrother
right.
ends up hooking up with her, the 15, was she 16 at the time?
Yeah.
Did she, had,
well,
she had a birthday?
Turned 16.
Yeah.
I don't know. We didn't see the birthday.
Teenage
but, yeah.
former stepsister. That is
yeah.
not okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they sort of justified it by saying like, oh, they were just married for a second. But it was still felt a little icky, right? Like,
yeah.
Even
and he
back
was too
then.
Old for her anyway.
Yeah.
When you're 15,
I
think you forget.
Right.
They were so grown up. She was driving before she had her license, and there's so much money flying around, but they were children.
Right, right. And he was
19-ish.
It was a grown 20. Man. He should not be.
By the way, though, Paul Rudd, who played Josh, he hasn't aged much at all.
And he wasn't as goofy of a character as he has played in other movies. Do you know?
Right, like, right. Yeah, so he's that sort was of cool. Playing like the suave guy.
Yeah.
He was cute. I didn't think he was cute when I was a kid. And rewatching, I'm like, oh, he's like very handsome.
Yeah, I thought he was cute when I was a kid. Like a cool, like cute guy. I also thought it was positive. So sweet that they ended up together and I was lost.
Yeah.
9-year-old Brooke was lost.
Yeah. Cher also referred to Josh as Cato, like in meaning like the, you know, in terms of the OJ trial. And I was like, that totally went over my head.
Yeah.
Like the more of the language that just completely went over my head. One of the things that struck me in this movie is that shopping is such a big deal. Like they go to the mall a lot. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, like, do kids don't shop anymore, right? Like they shop online.
They shop online. They go to like boutiques and stuff. Do people go to the mall though? They were going to the mall a lot. That was a kid thing, though. I hope kids still do that.
I do, too. I remember, like, hanging out at the mall. Like
getting
in
dropped off like, and going to the mall, yeah.
It was so fun.
That was such a fun thing. Also, how they talk about the Valley is hilarious. And it's so funny. Also, when her dad was like...
Where are you?
I'm just having a snack with my girlfriend.
Where? Kuwait?
Is that in the Valley?
Cher, I expect you to walk in the store in 20 minutes.
Well, it might take longer than that, Dad.
Everywhere in L.A. takes 20 minutes.
People still say that. Stop lying.
I know.
20 minutes.
Right. No. Also, there's that. It's right after that. They're at the Valley party, and they're trying to leave, and they're trying to organize their rides, and they're just talking about all the L.A. streets, and it's like, that's such an L.A. thing of, like, yes. They're talking about what streets. They're like, no, I'm above Olympic, so you come here. It's like a couple minutes of them just discussing street names, which is like that SNL sketch, The California.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So two of Cher's big projects in the movie are setting up Miss Geist and Mr. Hall, and then also making over Ty. So Ty, played by Brittany Murphy, she comes into the school, and she sort of becomes Cher's project. She's going to make her over. They do have a big makeover scene. Brittany Murphy was also so good in this.
Is this our introduction to all three of them?
You know, Alicia Silverstone was in sort of the Aerosmith music videos. Like she was, okay. Do you remember those?
No.
She did like three Aerosmith music videos. And I remember that being like really big. It was like a kind of a big deal for music lover, but it was also like not on a large scale. It was music videos. But
okay.
I do remember her getting a lot of like kind of press for that or whatever. But then this was sort of her breakout role.
It was definitely Brittany Murphy's breakout role.
Brittany Murphy, too. And I don't think...
Was it Stacey Dash?
I don't know if Stacey Dash was in much of anything before.
I don't know either, yeah. But yeah. Brittany Murphy completely stole the movie. Now that I look at it as an adult, as a kid, it was all about Cher. A little bit of Dion, too, because I'm black, and it was cool to like finally, you know, see someone who looked like you a bit in a movie that you liked about teens and...
Yeah.
Brittany Murphy was adorable.
Yeah, she's so good. I mean, her comedic timing is flawless.
It was perfect. She was so lost. They were all lost in way different ways.
Yes, yes. No, I love that how you put that. They're all lost in totally different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And even that makeover scene, I feel like every chick flick, every rom-com, every teen movie, we need a makeover scene.
Yes.
I love a make. I just saw that movie Crazy Rich Asians.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God, it's so good. But they have a great makeover scene in there. I just need these movies to have a makeover scene.
That scene where the red hair dye is the rinse or whatever that she had. I don't know if they were re-dyeing her hair, if they were rinsing out excess that she had put in there. But that red dripping down the bathtub, and that I'll never forget that. I remember thinking that was such a good shot that... I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
And then when she flipped her hair back and their faces the whole time, that tells another story, tells the whole story. But Cher is so like, okay. And Dion does not want to be there.
Yeah. So they set up Ty with Elton. Mm-hmm. Oh, these names. These names are so good.
They're so good.
I mean, they're all like the Cher, the Dion. Cher had that line in the movie early on where she says,
Dion and I were both named after great singers of the past who now do infomercials.
So good. So Ty's actually really into Travis, but they try to set her up with Elton. And Elton likes Cher. And so Cher's trying to make this happen between Elton and Ty. They go to that Valley party, which we talked a little bit about.
Right. I don't think Elton likes anybody. I think Elton is a creep.
Right. He likes himself.
He likes himself. Yeah, and Cher is his latest target.
Yeah. In the Valley party, they have that moment where they're playing Suck and Blow.
Yes.
Which also was another thing, which back in the day,
definitely
I
definitely
like,
tried that.
I remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you remember like getting, when I became like a teenager, sleepover or something. Like, we got to play Suck and Blow.
The boys come over like just for a couple hours before. And I remember that. Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I know, it's sort of a weird. It's a weird. Weird. Did they? I wonder if they made that up or if they.
I don't know, but we all did it.
We all did
it. We also all did the whole roll-in with the homie.
You ready to go back out there?
Yeah.
All right, Sherry, can you do this? Rolling with the homie.
Rolling with the homie.
Yeah, let's do it. You ready?
So much of this movie really became a part of the pop culture sort of landscape. And it only grossed $56 million, which is like a small amount.
Oh, wow.
Like it's not.
For it to have kind of changed the way we moved so much. It's less about quotables and more about the words that they use, not just quotes, but just it became a part of our everyday conversation.
Right. So as they're playing the second blow, Elton sort of drops it and kisses Cher.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we talked about that Dion and Murray fight at the Valley Party, which is just so amazing when Murray's cutting his hair and Dion walks in and she's so, what are our grandkids going to think? Also, I love at this party when Ty gets hit with a shoe and she gets knocked unconscious. It's so good. Ty gets a lot of physical comedy in this movie. Like, it's like she did. There's that other party where she falls down the stairs. Do you remember that? It's like she gets a lot of physical comedy, and she nails it all. She nails it all.
But also, even me, 9-year-old Brooke, didn't catch Elton's over the top hints until he tried to kiss her in the car.
Yeah,
that's it. It didn't catch the overt makeout during Suck and Blow. I didn't catch how he was refusing to take Ty home.
Right. Right.
And
what a creeper.
What a creep. What a creeper. Yes. He really wanted Cher.
Yeah, he tries to hit on her in the car, like as they're driving, and she gets out. She's like, no, I'm not having it. Mm-hmm. And then she gets held up at gunpoint.
But it's an Alaya.
It's an Alaya. Oh, so good.
Get down on the ground. Face down. Come on.
Oh, no. You don't understand. This is an Alaya.
And a what-a?
It's like a totally important designer.
And I will totally shoot you in the head.
You know, do you watch Sex and the City? Have you seen Sex?
Yes.
So what? Do you know that scene?
What kind of question is that?
I would have said that's a wrap on Brooke if you never saw it. But there was that scene in Sex and the City when she gets held up and he wants her shoes. Do you remember that? And I feel like that was so based on this Clueless.
Oh, that makes sense. This also is another thing that 9-year-old Brooke wouldn't have gotten. Like how devastating it was that she lost an Alaya.
Right. Also, I thought about if they remade this movie now, like they wouldn't have had that scene because they would have all just called Ubers.
You know?
Right?
I don't know.
You think they would have driven?
I think they would have driven, yes.
And
some
you know
of
what?
Them.
And kids like to drive. Maybe you're right.
And when you have a really nice car, you like to drive.
That's true. I've never had that, so I don't know.
Right. Especially at 16.
Right. I had to like share my parents' car and I was lucky if I'd get it.
Yeah, I didn't have a car until college.
And cell phones too. I remember they all had cell phones in school. And my mom would let me take her cell phone sometimes, like if I was going somewhere far or something. She's like, you could borrow it.
They all had pagers and cell phones, which was really confusing because why not just call the cell phone?
Right, right. So then Josh actually picks her up from her being held at gunpoint, Cher being held at gunpoint. And they have that cute little scene in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to the scene at the diner where Cher, Dion, and Ty are sitting around. And it's revealed that Cher and Dion are both virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, in the same way that I felt like they presented drug use in sort of a positive way, I felt like they presented sex in a positive way, too. Right. It wasn't like they were just looking to get laid. You know, Cher says she was waiting for the right guy. And even Dion says,
I thought that, like, you and Murray were...
My man is satisfied. He's got no cause for complaints. But technically, I am a virgin. You know what I mean.
I thought that was, like, a good... you know, for a movie for teenagers, it's
that was good.
Even when Ty has that infamous line, you're a virgin who can't drive.
Why am I even listening to you to begin with? You're a virgin who can't drive. Oh, that was way harsh, Ty.
It's like, I didn't really understand. I mean, I sort of got that, but I didn't get it.
I don't think I did either.
You know, when Christian shows up, Cher makes it her mission to sleep with him. She sees this guy and she's like, I'm going to get that guy. And of course, he's gay.
Right. Do you remember in the car, she's in the car with Dion and Murray and she's like, I almost slept with him. Right. And essentially they're like, no, you didn't.
That car scene, I mean, we're skipping ahead. That's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
That one?
Yeah. When they're driving and they when almost, Dion's trying to learn how to drive.
She gets on the freeway.
What the hell? Yeah, you're getting on the freeway.
What?
No, turn right. Oh, get out of the lane. Wait, wait, no. Okay. Don't get the procedure. Just get out of the lane. Oh,
the truck. Oh, the truck. Oh. Get out of the freeway. What do I do?
straight. Go straight. Go. Just relax and drive, baby. Just relax and drive.
Okay.
Keep going.
I'm okay.
I'm here with you. I'm here with you.
You did wonderful. It's all right, baby. Relax, 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 relax. Honey, relax. Baby, relax, relax. Breathe, breathe, breathe in, breathe. Let it out. Breathe, 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 honey. Breathe, breathe. Relax, relax.
Boy, getting off the freeway makes you realize how important love is. After that, Dion's virginity went from technical to non-existent.
I think it is the funniest scene.
Best scene in the movie, for
it's
sure.
So, so funny. So in terms of Christian, I remember when Cher makes it her mission, one of the things that I love is like all of these things that she decides a girl has to do to get the man. She says, you know, bring attention to your mouth, send yourself flowers and chocolate.
Do. I sent myself love letters and flowers and candy just so he'd see how desired I was in case he didn't already know. Anything you can do to draw attention to your mouth is good. Also, sometimes you have to show a little skin. This reminds guys of being naked, and then they think of sex.
Even when she eventually has him over, she's like, you should always have something baking, and then she puts the log of cookie dough on the... we talked about that driving scene where Dion's learning to drive, and Murray's license plate was "my joint," and I just never noticed that before. Like a little thing. And like I said, my favorite scene in the whole movie. And so Cher gives up trying to go after Christian. She decides not to. Her and Josh start bonding more and more as the movie goes
on. So inappropriate.
Yeah. And then there's a scene at the mall where Ty, Christian, and Cher are shopping. And Ty almost dies. And Christian comes in and saves her. And it causes this ripple effect where then Ty gets really big-headed. So she's already sort of getting more popular at the school. She had this makeover. And now everyone is so into the fact that she almost died, which, you know, we know she – I mean, it was sort of scary. Like, those guys were dipping her over the ledge at the mall. But she gets so big-headed. And it's interesting. It causes Cher to be jealous. But at the same time, it's like you do – as an audience, you get sort of annoyed with Ty, right? Because she's big-headed.
It's what happens with the main character. Some shows and movies just do it really well. They can do no wrong. Cher kind of forced this life on Ty and pushed her through this kind of uncomfort. And I think that was Ty's way of coping and dealing with this kind of shell-shocked, you know, experience.
Right.
And then Cher, in the midst of it, realizes that, oh, maybe I'm not as happy as I've been telling myself every day. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Cher hits an all-time low.
She does. And then we're sad because we are taught to love Cher.
We love Cher.
To the end. Yes.
Ty, even at one point, she says, oh, should I hook up with Josh? And that is like, you know, a final blow along with her not getting her license. Cher doesn't pass her driving test. Which, as a 16-year-old, that's probably the most devastating thing that could happen.
It is. It was the safest thing that could happen for the city of Los Angeles. So.
All of her driving. There's a scene where, though, that always bugs me when I rewatch it, is Cher's driving, and you know when she knocks off her side view mirror?
Yes.
Oh, should I write them a note?
I like the part where she hits the fire hydrant in the neighborhood. It's just like, whoa! That's
so good. All of her driving is so good. And I'm that driver now. Like, I can't drive. At all. Like, I tried to fight it for a while. Are you a good driver?
Yeah.
I'm terrible. And for the longest time, people would be like, Danny's a bad driver. And I'd be like, stop. Like, my boyfriend or my mom or whoever, anyone would say, like, Danny can't drive. And I would try to deny it. And now I just embrace it. I'm like, yeah.
You're like, you know, actually.
You're right. I'm terrible.
It's not my thing.
And I don't like it. I don't want to drive. When people ask me to drive places, I'm like, you don't want me to
drive. That's hilarious.
So then Cher hits this low point. She goes shopping on Rodeo Drive as All By Myself plays. And she has this realization she's in love with Josh.
Yes.
She loves him.
Then suddenly, oh my God, I love Josh. I am majorly, totally, butt crazy in love with Josh.
But now I don't know how to act around him. I mean, ordinarily I'd strut around him in my cutest little outfits and send myself flowers and candy, but I couldn't do that stuff with Josh.
And of course, we all knew this the whole time. We're like, you're supposed to end up with Josh. Mm-hmm. But she's sort of learning it for the first time. And I love that All By Myself was playing.
Right. It makes it so sappy. And
there's that moment by the fountain.
Yes.
I think there's a really great Clueless tour in L.A. to be done. Like, to see all of these L.A. Clueless sites. Like, speaking of Sex and the City, you know they do that in New York where they go to all the Sex and the City spots. I feel like we could do that in L.A. with a Clueless.
That's true. We could also do that with Insecure. Do you watch Insecure?
Yeah.
That it's like really kind of shown me Los Angeles in a way that I wouldn't have, you know, totally experienced.
You know, this is
cool.
This is a side note, but I'm trying to save up all of this current season of Insecure so I could watch them all at once, but it's already so difficult.
That's what somebody else was saying at work yesterday, that they like to save it up and watch it all the way. But I like to be a part of the conversation that happens every week. Right. That's a really fun part of watching that show.
Right. I don't think I'm going to continue doing it, but I'm trying. Because I feel like I always get mad. There's such short episodes. I just want so much more.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about, though. There is, to break it down, though, afterwards.
So then everyone sort of makes up. Cher ends up with Josh. Mrs. Geist and Mr. Hall get married, and we end with their wedding. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's a beautiful wedding. Everyone's made up, and Cher and Josh share a kiss. It's like their first kiss.
But this is not why I come here. This is a good learning experience for me.
You already said that.
Mel, I want to help out Mel. Yeah, he's the only one who cares about me.
That's not true.
He's not?
No.
Are you saying you care about me?
Josh.
It was so sweet when I was 9. It is so creepy now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so sweet. And then that moment where they kind of trick us for a second and you know they've gotten together and then it heads to a wedding scene and you're like, wait,
yeah,
what?
Is it theirs? I know, it's a fake out.
Yeah, it's a fake out.
There was a lot of movies around this time. Do you remember Cruel Intentions did that sort of stepbrother sibling love?
Yeah, they also did Everything Was Bad in Cruel Intentions. So
that was the
purpose of that. You were supposed to think, hey, all of this is awful. And Clueless, you were supposed to think, this is sweet.
So we talked about Alicia Silverstone having this likability to her. And after the movie came out, she signed a $10 million deal with TriStar. She had a few movies that came out. She did that movie Blast from the Past and Excess Baggage. And then she was in Batman and Robin. But none of them panned. Like, they were all kind of flops. And why do you think Alicia Silverstone never really caught on?
I don't know. Yeah. But now, doesn't she lives kind of like a different life, right? And I wonder if maybe that was the underlying, like, she did this movie that was wildly successful, even though when we look at the numbers, I guess it wasn't wildly.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a cult classic. Yeah. But maybe she didn't want to. Maybe it wasn't her passion. She seems now passionate about other things. Maybe that was kind of underlying the whole time.
Yeah, I know she got really into veganism, and she's very outspoken about that. And she's written a couple vegan, I don't know if they're cookbooks, but vegan books. But she was just so likable, so stunningly beautiful. And she's on that show American Woman on the Paramount Network. But I always just thought she should have been bigger.
I thought so, too. It was a bummer that they didn't use all of the characters in the TV show.
Right, the TV show, which I was on TGIF.
I loved it all. Yeah, it was on ABC, right? Yeah, yeah. TGIF.
It was on TGIF for one season, and then it was on UPN for two seasons.
Okay.
But yeah, they recasted everyone except for Amber, Dion, and then the teachers.
Yes, Amber, Dion, and the teachers. And
Murray was in the TV show too, right? Or am I making that up?
What? I don't, maybe.
Murray went on to Scrubs, too. What's his name? Donald Faison?
Yeah, he's married to Jessica Simpson's best friend, Casey.
Right.
Oh, they have cute kids.
Yeah. And Dion, Stacey Dash, went on to become sort of a political pundit, a very problematic political pundit. Have you followed any of her?
Of course, because at my normal job, I do hard news. Yeah, Stacey Dash has become...
I wish everyone could see your face.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. At first, I thought this is in an effort to sell stuff.
It's upsetting. I mean, it's upsetting.
Yeah, I've let that go.
Yeah, I know. And then Brittany.
R.I.P. Dion. I've let that go.
So Brittany Murphy too. She went on to Uptown Girls and Girl Interrupted, Drop Dead Gorgeous, which she also steals that movie. Did you ever see Drop Dead Gorgeous?
Yes.
So good. Yeah, I feel like she steals that.
Yeah, Brittany Murphy was kind of the only like real like breakout star.
Right, and Paul Rudd too. Paul Rudd. I mean, he's
okay.
But Brittany Murphy was. She was. She became a big star and sadly passed away in 2009. Yeah.
Which even like catapulted her stardom, I think, even
right.
more.
Right. I mean, because she, yeah, died tragically. And she was just so talented. And rewatching this movie and a lot of her other performances, like Drop Dead Gorgeous, like Girl Interrupted, she was so good. And it really was unfortunate that we lost her. But on another note, Amy Heckerling, who she was the director, she also directed Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She directed European Vacation, Look Who's Talking. And it was reported that she's working on a musical version for this film for Broadway. Where do you think, I always say, like, a lot of these movies that we love, these beloved classics, like, they're money makers for these studios. And so now we see all of these things being rebooted or whatever. Where do you see this franchise going? Do you
think? I hate musicals.
Right. Okay. All like, of them?
All of them.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Saw The Color Purple, though, on Broadway. And that was, okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Mamma Mia.
Oh my God, you hate Mamma Mia.
I was trying.
It's so joyous.
I was trying that episode, the musical episode of Grey's Anatomy. I tried.
Oh, yeah.
I tried
rough.
Like twice.
Yeah.
And what's the movie that almost won?
La La Land.
Oh my God, I tried.
Yeah.
I really like focused and tried. I don't like that.
Well, you know what? It's
random
okay.
breaking out in song.
Yeah. It's okay. My boyfriend hates it too. He hates like a musical. Like, and I love a musical. I'm I'll see anything.
It.
I love them breaking out in a song. Not on Grey's Anatomy. I don't need the doctors breaking out in song.
It just doesn't work for me.
Oh my God. Mamma Mia. I felt like more joy than ever before when Cher pops in Mamma Mia too.
Well, I just like Cher anything. Cher is just amazing.
She's the best.
Her Twitter.
Her Twitter
is lit.
The best. Okay. So good. The way she uses emojis is next level.
Yes.
It's next level. But so, where do you see this franchise going? Like, they're working on a musical, but we don't know if that's going to happen. Do you think they would remake it, reboot it, sequelize it? Like, do you see a future for this?
Clueless had a movie. Mm-hmm. Then they gave the movie out in book version, which happens a lot.
Right.
But then there were four sequels, three or four, like, you know, next three or four, book sequels. And then there was a television show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And even now, they're still merchandising it. Like, those, you know, those Funko figures? There's like Clueless
That's
ones.
Right. So, I mean, it is done. It's dry. And I had all of those things. I know about those things because I had them. I really liked them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool. Maybe just like re-release
it. I know, but that's what I want them to just leave it alone. I just feel like they always will. And I always try to think of like, well, what's the best version of what they, would the best version be a sequel or would the best version be a reboot if they're not going to leave it alone? Like obviously the preferred method is like, just don't touch it.
We're also in a different, I think this like post-recession world, which is why I think the Entourage movie didn't work.
Wait, explain.
Because think about this. We're in a different space now to where watching people flaunt their money isn't as entertaining for people. I loved Entourage. And I think a lot of people loved Entourage. And then you're in a different space. Everyone's wallet's in a different space. And you're like, oh, okay, no.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
thanks.
That's so interesting that you say that. I never thought about that in that way. And you're so right. Like, I don't know that we are in the space.
Just in general, as a country, I don't know if it would be a hit.
Icons. If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started.
Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
Right. There's also an oral history I want to just mention. There's a book called As If. It's an oral history of the movie Clueless. So if you're interested and you enjoyed this, I encourage everyone to go read it. It's really great. And it's they interview sort of all the people involved in this. So you mentioned what was your favorite fashion moment? It was the plaid.
Yellow plaid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the red dress. Also, I didn't mention this, but the red dress that Amber wears later in the film. So Cher wears it once.
Oh, with the bow.
With the bow.
Uh-huh.
Cher wears it at first, and then Amber's later seen at the party. But I love that dress.
Yeah, Cher wore it during school.
Right.
And then Amber wore it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just love that. And then, of course, the Calvin.
Also, Amber's Pippi Longstocking ponytails.
Oh, my
God. How did we let that fly?
A lot of Amber's looks are very weird.
Wild. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Like, they're wild. Like, that, the Pippi Longstockings when they're at the in the gym. So we talked about the film holding up, and a lot of it went over my head as a kid. And I rewatching it back, I wonder like why it still feels fresh enough to me. Like it didn't. There's so many '90s references and mm-hmm. so many dated pop culture things, but it still it doesn't. It still holds up. I think
it was just kind of this goofy movie about kids who are just like you.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's a story that we can always watch.
Yeah. So we're going to head to a commercial break really quick, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about you and some of the stuff you have going on.
Okay.
So is there anything else about the movie that we didn't talk about that you feel like we maybe missed? I mean, there's just so many things, so many iconic lines. There's so many wonderful fashions, great music. I love her dad, played by Dan Hedaya.
He's so mean.
So mean. So funny.
So mean. And so funny, but he loves her so much.
That line when he says he's impressed that she raised her grade.
You mean to tell me that you argued your way from a C+ to an A-?
Totally based on my powers of persuasion. You proud?
Honey, I couldn't be happier than if they were based on real grades.
So tell me about you. Tell me about your social media. Anything you want to plug?
Yeah. So my social media, it's Brooke on Air. Brooke with an E. Because there's anything in my name, and on air, because I'm on air, you get it?
Yes.
But that's all my socials, like my Instagram and Twitter. Oh, my YouTube page, yeah. That I just started. Like, maybe I didn't just start it, maybe almost a year ago at this point. It's a slow process, but it's fun.
It's
I want to have a little
less
fun
than
with
a year
it.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. New.
It's Brooke on Air on YouTube.
So everyone go follow you on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, everywhere.
Please.
And then also find me on social media. I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, there's an Everything Iconic Facebook group. Also, if you want to support this podcast, please head on over to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/everythingiconic. And for $4 or more per month, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. And you're also helping to support this podcast. So it helps us make it.
Awesome.
I want to thank Samson Technologies, our sponsors. Go to samsontech.com for information about them. I want to thank Whitney for producing this. Brooke, you are so lovely, and I'm so grateful that you came over to talk about Clueless, because I had the best time, and you suggested watching Clueless, and I was so excited to dig back in, because I do love it, but I hadn't watched it in a while, and it just brought back so many memories, and I loved it.
Yay, so fun. Thank you.
So thank you, and so hopefully next time we're at a casting together, they will hire us both.
Right, hopefully. But what a good experience.
Right.
You know, end up with a bunch of friends after. I would have rather ended up with the job and the friends.
Sure.
But...
It is what it is. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I love you so much. Thank you. Bye.